This is Right From The Deep.
I'm Karen Ball.
And I'm Erin Taylor Young. And this is the podcast from writers for writers, answering the question,
why am I doing this?
Right. As writers, editors,
and a former literary agent,
we're in the deep with you,
encouraging you and equipping you to find your truest story in the deep places.
Get our show notes and more, including a free audio download on how to safeguard your writer's heart at writefromthedeep.com.
Hey guys, here's what's happening at Write From The Deep. Thank you to all our patrons on Patreon. You help make this podcast possible. If you want to add your support, well, visit patreon.com/writefromthedeep, all one word. We'd sure appreciate it.
Indeed we would. And a big thank you to our March sponsor of the month, Tammy Parlow. Thank you, Tammy. She is a speaker at Women's Retreat, and her debut novel, Karen and I both love the title, Blood Beneath the Pines. It's a suspense set in the Deep South, and it's now available. And Tammy is hard at work on her next book in the series. And you can find Tammy at her website, tammypartlow.com. It's TammyPartlow.com.
It's my turn for the wonder. We had an arborist come to our house yesterday. Lovely man. But the thing that astonished me was his knowledge of trees. Now, obviously, he's an arborist. He's supposed to know about trees. But to watch him go around our property and look at each of the trees and say, okay, that's a noble fir. We have a noble fir in our yard, and I didn't even know. And that's an incense cedar, and they're about 40 or 50 years old right now. They're fairly young. And I'm like, how do you know how old they are just by looking at them? Well, the good news is that all our trees are healthy. There are a couple of them that we need to keep an eye on, but they're all pretty healthy. And it just reminded me how God uses us as parts of the body, different parts of the body, in the knowledge that we have and the wisdom that we have from our own life experiences and the things that we've studied. I can't judge the trees and make sure that they're safe, but this guy, his name was Joel, he came in, we talked with him, and now we have confidence that things are okay. And if we have a problem, we can go to him. Likewise, as believers, we can share with each other our experiences, our knowledge of the deep, our knowledge of God in the deep. And each of us can help to uplift and support and strengthen each other. And that's just wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And now, here's the show. Welcome, listeners. We are so glad that you are here with us today. And in our last podcast, I hope you guys heard that. If you didn't, we'll put a link in the show notes and go listen to it. It was just so cool. We discussed George Mueller and his amazing life of prayer. And I want to take a minute to just treat Mueller like a character in a novel, okay, with goals and motivations and conflict. Now, this guy, he had goals, right? He had ministries. He wanted to start like an orphan house, you know, all sorts of things. And he certainly had conflict, you know, obstacles. The man had no money, no building, no people, you know, just a few problems. But what I love most is this guy's motivation. He wanted people to see the mighty works that God did. That's what he wanted, and how God provided, and how trustworthy God is, and how deserving of praise God is. In other words, his motivation, he wanted to glorify God.
Now, that's a great motivation. And, you know, it's right in line with God's goal in creating us. Listen to what Isaiah 43:7 says. Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them. I love that. And then there's Isaiah 43:21. The people who I formed for myself will declare my praise. Not may, not might, but will declare my praise. And Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. I mean, my gosh, God created us. He created the world and all of it, all of us, to glorify him.
Indeed. And there's an article on desiringgod.org, and it puts it this way. This is a quote. The supreme goal of God in history from beginning to end is the manifestation of his great glory. Accordingly, our duty is to bring our thoughts, affections, and actions into line with this goal. But let's just like talk about what is even God's glory. I mean, what do you think of when you hear that word? We might think about what glory looks like. Maybe what Isaiah saw in Isaiah 6:1 when he saw the Lord high and exalted on a throne with this train filling the temple.
Or we might think of what Ezekiel saw in chapter 1 of his book. He describes a whirlwind and living creatures and wheels. And then he says, quote, "What looked like a throne of lapis lazuli, and high above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like a glowing metal, as if full of fire. And from there down, he looked like fire. And bright light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day. So was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell face down." And that's from Ezekiel 1, 26 through 28.
And that's cool.
Yeah.
or we might think, when we're thinking of glory, we might just think of light or fire, so pure and bright and holy that we can't even look at it, like we would be consumed. And it says in Hebrews 12:29, it says, "For our God is a consuming fire." Mm. Or we might think, when we're thinking about glory, about like a definition from the dictionary, you know, honor, renown, magnificence, splendor, majesty, power.
An article on desiringgod.org defines it as, "The glory of God is the infinite beauty and greatness of his manifold perfections." Wow. An article on christianity.com says, "God's glory is an indicator of his value."
So it's God's splendor, his worth, his value, his acts, his greatness, his brilliance, his power, his overwhelming nature, his majesty. I mean, what can we say? It's his utterly beyondness, right? Mm. And then here we are, you know, we're puny little humans, and we exist to help display all that. But how do we do that? Well, first, let's realize that God has done the heavy lifting here, okay? We don't have to do it all. He causes his own glory to be shown through his righteous acts and through his creation. Isaiah 44, 22 and 23 says, "I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Sing for joy, you heavens, for the Lord has done this. Shout aloud, you earth beneath. Burst into song, you mountains, you forests, and all your trees. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob. He displays his glory in Israel."
We see in Luke 2, 8 through 14, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, our Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'"
Can you guys imagine that? The host of heaven is singing. So, like, we humans don't have to do the heavy lifting, because God has. And here in John 17:4, Jesus is speaking to God, and he says, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do." So Jesus brings glory to God.
And then there's 2 Timothy 4:18, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." But we still have a part to play. As the Desiring God article said, it's our duty to bring our thoughts, affections, and actions into line with God's goal of displaying his glory. You know, we can do that by ascribing glory to God, revering his glory, and declaring his glory.
Right. And when we ascribe glory to God, what we're doing is we're recognizing it. We're realizing it. We're naming it. We're attributing that characteristic to God, just like it says in Revelation 4:11. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being.
Revelation 15:3-4 tells us, great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. And then in Psalm 29:1-2, it says, ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness.
We also ascribe glory to God when we acknowledge that his actions are ultimately for his glory. So in Psalm 79:9, it says, help us, God, our Savior, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and forgive our sins for your name's sake.
My husband and I live in a little town in Washington State, and the name is Gold Bar, but everybody here calls it Blow Bar because we have unbelievable winds. In fact, yesterday and today, we have a wind advisory out. Winds of 40 to 50 miles an hour with gusts up to 60. We had this happen a week or so ago, and the gusts were more like 70 and 80. As Don and I were driving to a different town to get groceries and then coming back home, we saw so many huge trees, either stripped of limbs or uprooted and across roads. And as I sat here this morning and listened to the wind this morning, I thought to myself, that's God's glory. That's a very small representation of God's power and strength. And instead of getting to the point, which I have been lately, where I feel like I can't stand the wind, now, because of this podcast, I look at it, and when that wind comes, I say, glory to God. Show your power, Lord. Show your majesty.
Mm-hmm.
Another way that we display God's glory is to revere it. And when we revere God's glory, we're acknowledging the seriousness of it, the awe that it should inspire. God's glory is never to be taken lightly. Isaiah 59:19 says, from the west, people will fear the name of the Lord. And from the rising of the sun, they will revere his glory. For he will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along.
Revering God's glory also means that we're careful not to take God's glory. In Psalm 115:1, it says, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness.
Amen. And revering God's glory also means we never, ever deny the truth of it, because we will face God's wrath if we do. Listen to this in Romans 1:18-25. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And Paul goes on in that passage to talk about all the ways we will just continue to devolve into evil if we refuse to recognize and value the truth about God and his glory. Let me tell you, it is not a pretty thing for that to happen when we refuse. So aside from ascribing and revering God's glory, we are also to declare it. We are to tell it, to make it known.
In 1 Chronicles 16:23, we read, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth, you and me, the wind, the sun, the sky. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods."
And Psalm 145, 10 through 12 says, "All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom."
And I love this from Isaiah 24, 14 through 16. "They raise their voices, they shout for joy. From the west, they acclaim the Lord's majesty. Therefore, in the east, give glory to the Lord. Exalt the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, in the islands of the sea. From the ends of the earth, we hear singing, glory to the righteous one."
Psalm 63:3 says, "Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you."
His love is better than life. Amen. And as writers, another way we declare God's glory is through our words on the page. Those words tell of God's truth and his worth, his actions and his attributes, his creation, his sovereignty, his love. And while it's great if people read your words, don't forget that just writing words is an act of declaration, and that is reason enough to write them.
Amen for that. And so our trust is another way that we can bear witness to his glory. We can show our trust by believing his promises, just like Abraham. Listen to this from Romans 4, 18 through 21. "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised."
Remember in last week's podcast about George Mueller, the first thing that you had to do was believe. Believe that God is able. Believe that he is willing to answer our prayers. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." Our amen is our agreement. It's our acknowledgement that we agree God will fulfill all his promises, and that glorifies God.
And Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." Again, our belief is a mark of our agreement, our trust that God has and will save us.
So how else can we bring glory to God? Well, how about our actions? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." You know, think about this and take it seriously. Everything we do, everything should demonstrate that God is our supreme value, that God is who and what we hold most dear. This should be reflected in how we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we talk, how we write, how we treat others, how we handle disagreement, how we behave on social media. Now, that's a tough one. Or at church or at the grocery store or during an interview or driving down the highway during rush hour. And that's another tough one.
Right.
But in all of those actions, we need to glorify God.
Right. And as Karen says, we're all probably thinking that's a tall order. But God doesn't leave us to do this on our own. He helps us. He gives us strength. He gives us his Holy Spirit and his promises and his living word in the Bible. And he gives us the right to come before his throne and, you know, to the best of our fallen ability in this fallen world, we can behold God's glory. And these glimpses of God's glory change us. The more we ascribe, revere, declare, and behold God's glory, the more we are changed.
Listen to 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. As we're changed, we're better and better able to be a reflection of God's glory, which brings God glory. But there's more. As we shine, we also display God's kingdom to those around us. We shine in a dark, broken world that so desperately needs light.
Yeah. And as I was discussing this topic in my mastermind group, here's how one woman put that. She said, "We're walking trophy cases to display God's glory." And I love that. Whatever you guys have been through, hard, easy, good, bad, God makes us into trophy cases to display his glory. He's the one that does it. He makes us his delight and his display, his joy, and his fruit bearers. Listen to what it says in John 15:7-8. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples."
God's glory, it's more grand, more amazing, more indescribable than we can even imagine. And yet, he gives us, each of us, glimpses of it every day in so many ways. How can we not share it with others, especially when he helps us do so? So as we end today, let's join together in glorifying God, in sharing his glory with those around us. Let's let Psalm 57, 9 through 11 be our guide. "I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples, for great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth."
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for joining us today. You can find previous episodes and more resources at rightfromthedeep.com.
And I bet you know someone who needs this podcast, so please share it with them.
So until next time,
embrace the deep.
Your writing and your life will never be the same.